everyone. Welcome to the Mindful Chef. This is Chef Alicia, and I am here to talk to you guys today about flavor. Flavor. I know that lately I've been doing a lot of other podcasts that have not been so food-centric, more on the activism side. And so today I just wanted to have a little bit of fun and talk to you about developing flavor in your homes, in your kitchens, and at work if you're a chef. And yeah, let's get into it, okay? So one of the things that I have really focused on in the last few years to develop my culinary prowess, it has been focusing on flavor instead of specific cuisine types or specific dishes. I feel like the basis of being a really good cook is centrally focused on developing flavor. It has lot less to do with being very specific about a recipe and more about understanding how flavor works and why, when you do have a command of how flavor works, your food comes out better, even when you're not technically correct in certain ways. So what do I mean by that? Like, if you've gone to culinary school or taken any classes, you know that there are certain techniques that you do when cooking that are very specific, that if you saute, this will happen. If you braise, this will happen. If you sear, this will happen. When you bake, this happens. Well, understanding the way that flavors work together and creating flavor is really important. And you can make mistakes with your technique when your flavors are on point. And it's evident in households every single day when, you know, you're sitting down to dinner and you're like, this tastes good, but it doesn't look exactly how it needs to look for me. And that is like the forgiving world of culinary arts, right? You may not win any Michelin awards or a James Beard if your technique isn't perfect, but you will win the hearts of your friends and family if your flavor is on point. And if you're a chef, just imagine if you have passion for learning about flavor, what a difference that would make when your technique is perfect. And so that is why I'm here today, because I think everybody can really learn some things. And a lot of stuff is super simple and not as difficult, not as involved as most people seem to think. I had a conversation with one of my friends, I think it was just yesterday or the day before, and she was asking me about what she could top off her food after she like meal preps. She makes her meal at home and then takes it to lunch, but it has lost some of that zhuzh, right? And as someone who was health conscious and watching what she eats for different reasons, she wanted to know what seasoning, what spice, what things she can sprinkle on top of her plate that will bring it back to life after it's hit the microwave, you know, or even eaten cold. And the one thing I told her was probably very, very unexpected. And my suggestion was salt. And yeah, it sounds hella basic, right? But there are different types of salt for different purposes. And I know everybody is like in this craze for the actual sea salt. We'll get into that in another time. But, you know, oh, I use sea salt. I use pink salt. I use Himalayan pink salt specifically. Like all of these different terminologies for salt. Salt brings out the natural flavor of whatever it touches. It enhances. It is a flavor enhancer. The problem with a lot of our food is that when we buy things in packages, the preservatives and the salt and the sodium and the fat is done at a level that is not conducive to our health 90% of the time. So when you mention adding salt to something, when you're cooking it at home, a lot of people go, but I'm trying to watch my salt intake. Well, funny enough, when you sprinkle salt on the top of your plate after you have cooked your food and you've seasoned it really well, You use less salt that way than if you like salted it as you go very heavily and then added something else that was very salty on top. I'm a hot sauce girl. I love different types of hot sauce. But it's no secret that hot sauce is high in sodium. So in order to make sure that my blood pressure stays normal, thank God, I cook with very little salt so that I have room to add my hot sauce at the end. Because I love the heat, and I also know that the sodium in the hot sauce is going to take that sodium level up in that specific dish. It takes a while to get adjusted to not using seasonings that have lots of salt in them. So there is a palate cleansing of sorts that needs to happen when you make this adjustment. But 90% of the time, many people are using blends of spices that all have salt in them and then wonder at the end of the dish why there's not enough flavor and there is a lot of salt. Well, I'm encouraging you to go backwards and to use a lot of aromatics, a lot of seasonings, and little salt until the end so that all of the flavors have an opportunity to come together nicely. And then you salt it. The salt is the enhancement to your dish. That's why you will see in culinary settings a lot of lemon and lime sprinkled on top of something at the end of a dish. The zest of the lemon and the lime. Those are acidic properties that bring out the natural flavors of the dish that you're making. So it's not just for fun. It's not for show, the pictures, and it's not for the actual like either lemon or lime flavor. Really, realistically, it's acid. So you could do the same thing with the vinegar. You can do the same thing with a Maldon salt, which is a very flaky salt that you sprinkle right on top. And it's thin, it's light, and it will melt into your dish, complement your seasonings, and so on. So that is one way to really, you know, punch up the flavor in your dishes, is to play around with different types of salt. Go to these spice shops. It's not COVID anymore. Go inside the spice shops, the specialty stores that you think are like whatever, and smell the salts. And look at the different ones and try different salts. Salt itself, okay? So we're talking gray salt, smoked salt, French salt, whatever. Different types of sea salt. The Maldon salt is flaky. The kosher salt is grainy, right? You will notice that what many of us grew up with, iodized salt, is not the same as these other salts. And have yourself a salt tasting. Sit up there and put your little finger on there and taste it and decide, this is good with this, this is good with that, let me try this. You will see a huge difference in your cooking. Another thing that I really recommend getting is something that I have recommended to anybody who loves to cook for many years. There is this book that really transformed the way I approach cooking, and it is called The Flavor Bible. And I really, really highly recommend that anybody who enjoys cooking get this book, because what this book does for your mind when it comes to ingredients is absolute insanity. So you can find this book in all bookstores and online. It's easy to get. Now, you might think it's a little bit on the pricey side. I want to say I probably spent about $40 on this book. This book is still in pristine condition, and I continue to buy the book as gifts for other people as well, and I highly recommend it. What you're going to find in this book is this flavor profile assessment that helps you decide how to put your food together so that you have this beautiful dish. One of the main things that I say, even in health and wellness, and this is something that people don't normally connect, but 90% of the time, we're not done eating until all of our senses have been met. Until that requirement to have all of those things met, we always feel like we need a little something, something after we eat. Welcome back to the Mindful Chef, and we're talking about flavor. I just mentioned how important it is to salt your food and to try different salts. And then we started talking about the flavor Bible. And I really want you guys to get this book because you are going to be happy. Trust and believe it's going to be this little... It's this little book that should live inside of your kitchen so that you can refer to it whenever you're in a creative mood and want to build a dish. One of the biggest things that I know about health and wellness is that 90% of the time when we are not satiated, when we are looking for that feeling of fullness, it is really us looking for the ability to maintain and appease all of the senses. And so the Flavor Bible gives you the flavor profile of ingredients, and it gives it to you so that you know which sense it's appealing to. So you got the sweet, the sour, the bitter, umami, salty, but then they also discuss mouthfeel and temperature. So how spicy is it? How does it feel inside of your mouth? Is it oily? Is it creamy? What is it, right? All of these things are included in the profiles of the ingredients, so it gives you a better idea of how to build in complex flavors in a very easy way. You can even get aroma and other types of descriptive words used in these ingredients. So what you'll find is a nice assessment of flavor in the first half of the book where it talks about all of these elements. And then you get into the book and it is literally an assortment of ingredients in alphabetical order, where you literally will scroll down and you see that star anise is sweet, bitter, it's medium weight, the volume is moderate, loud, and there's a cooking tip, right? So what do we mean by sweet and bitter at the same time? Star anise is often used in savory and sweet dishes because of its profile. And the weight of it being medium, it's not a very lightweight spice. It's one that it's got some body to it. And if you use too much of it, it will overpower a dish, which is where the volume comes in as well. It's moderate and loud. Okay. So you want to ease into using star anise. You don't want to put a whole couple of stars in something and then ruin your dish, right? Then underneath that, it has a list of other spices and items and foodstuffs that it goes well with. This is key. This is where you get into the meat of things, because you got this whole list and it talks about the cuisines that it pairs well with, any blends that it's included in that you might not know about. It gives you the flavor affinities and some actual combinations to try together. And that is your cue to play in the kitchen. You use this list to say, okay, now I'm gonna go to the store because I saw a recipe for X, Y, and Z, or I wanna create a recipe for this because maybe someone you know is a farmer and grew a ridiculous amount of something and they gave you some and they were like, here, I wanna share, come on over, grab it, let's have a meal, all of these things. And now you don't know what to do with it. All I gotta tell you is you can grab your flavor Bible and you say, what does this thing go good with? What does it go good with? And then you start to scroll. You got navy beans, lima beans, kidney beans, pinto beans. Y'all know I like beans. Caviar, cayenne pepper, celery, hazelnuts. It just goes on and on and on. There are some photos in here, but it's not really a book of recipes. It's a study guide, essentially. So if you're somebody who really wants to get better at your craft and better at learning to cook or become a better chef or try new things, this is definitely for the adventurous eater and little chef in your family and friend group. So I highly recommend that you test out the Flavor Bible. Try it. You might like it. So So when it comes to flavor, I really cannot stress enough the fun factor in playing around and learning new things. Don't overthink it. Don't try to do more. You know, sometimes you want to compare yourself to other people. Really just consider having fun, right? So we know that salt is a super flavor enhancer. We discussed it at the top of the show. And then I went into the flavor Bible and how you can use it as a tool. But quite honestly, one of the other elements of flavor that really you can learn in order to make your food better is to taste more things and ask questions. Be adventurous yourself, be open and ask questions. So when you go out to dinner or lunch or breakfast, but whenever you do, don't hesitate to ask questions of the wait staff. See if there are things that you can guess. You know, some of us like to play this game where we guess the ingredients in a dish and then we ask for confirmation. This will point you in the right direction so that you know that, hey, I'm really kind of good at these flavors. I know how to pick out X, Y, and Z. Try new things with an old staple ingredient. You love garlic, right? So you use fresh garlic, see how that works out in different ways. Garlic moved through a garlic press tastes different than sliced garlic. Why? Because when you push it through a garlic press, you're releasing those natural oils in a way that you're not when you chop it. So if you have a garlic press, make the same recipe using the garlic, going through the garlic press as you do when you chop it, and see if you notice the difference. Then try layering garlic in other ways. You can use garlic powder, granulated garlic, roasted chopped garlic, and also just a roasted like soft garlic, because you can buy a roasted, toasted, chopped garlic from a spice shop that's dried that you can add to soups and stews and other things that have a sauce. But you can also roast your own garlic in your oven and use that soft, sweet paste of a garlic in other dishes. Did you know that it turned sweet when you roasted it? It actually does. It doesn't have that bite that it has when it's raw. So that means your dish is gonna taste different when you make it using that. Play around with the different methods of preparing an ingredient, such as eggplant. It'll taste differently than if you roast it than pan frying it. It'll taste differently, and that's the chemistry of that food item. And then when you get to playing with what you pair it with, it becomes gold. It becomes that fun space. So get adventurous, get out there in these restaurants, try new things at home with the layering of different preparations of one ingredient to see how you like it the best. And this is going to really expand your ability to create and build flavor into dishes. You might find that you like a recipe done in a different way than you've always done it before because you decided to roast the garlic instead of using raw garlic, or because you decided to use the garlic press instead of chopping it. It makes a difference. It might not seem like it does. It might seem like it's a fancy thing or something that is just either a waste of time for some people who don't even enjoy cooking. But I guarantee you that when you do decide to make that switcheroo and play around with your ingredients, you might just really enjoy cooking. You just might enjoy it. And that's really what it's all about for me. If you're not enjoying cooking, you're not doing it right. So that's all I got for you today about flavor. I hope that I gave you some tips, some ideas, some things that make it fun that you would want to try at home. And you can let me know how it all turned out for you. You can leave me a comment here or follow me on social media. I am everywhere as the Oakland Girl. And I look forward to seeing y'all. All right. This has been the Mindful Chef, also known as Chef Leisha, also known as the Oakland Girl. I'll see y'all later. Have a good one. Bye.